As Biden begins to act on some of his early promises, he's naming close advisors and aides to work with him in the White House. This calls for the question, what will the priorities of the new Security Exchange Commission be, and what can we expect? Welcome to The Financial Bite. This episode is brought to you by Finadium. I'm your host, Annie Schmidt, and together we will explore leading topics in finance and economics, interviews with thinkers, movers, and shakers in global finance to learn what's happening and what's next. Here with me today is Professor Jim Angel of Georgetown University, who specializes in the market structure and regulation of global financial markets. He teaches undergraduate, MBA, and executive courses, including investment and capital markets. In addition, Angel has testified before Congress about issues relating to the design of financial markets. Happy to have you on the podcast, Jim.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Let's start with my first question. What do you see as priorities for the Securities and Exchange Commission in a Biden administration?
I think they're going to be much more consumer-focused than the previous administration. The Trump administration was focused more on reducing regulations and not so much in coming up with better protections for consumers. So I think the SEC will be taking a different direction under the Biden administration. I think they're going to pay a lot more attention to so-called cryptocurrencies and digital assets. And they'll also be dealing with a lot of very technical market structure issues.
On that note, what qualities do you think the next head of the SEC needs to have?
Judgment and common sense are the most important things. In addition to that, the SEC chair needs to really be able to work with an entrenched bureaucracy, because our securities laws are so technical that if the chair doesn't really master the technicalities, the staff will run everything and it will just be bureaucratic inertia. So the SEC chair needs to have common sense, good judgment, but also needs to be able to work with the staff to implement what needs to be done. Otherwise, nothing will happen.
Yeah, in fact, communication is key. And what concerns do you have for U.S. exchanges and capital markets today?
There are both macro and micro challenges to our markets today. So on the macro sense, the government has a huge fiscal problem. We cannot be running trillion-dollar deficits indefinitely. Something's got to give. And I think that the financial issues facing the U.S. government will spill over into the financial markets. So that is the macro issue. It's likely that the monetary creation we're seeing will ignite more inflation. And if that gets out of control, it will be very bad news. On the micro sense, I think our markets are actually in pretty good shape from a technical perspective. You know, they work pretty well. There are a lot of technical improvements that need to be made, but the biggest challenges right now are, again, the macro challenges. You know, we have a huge government deficit. We have the specter of impending inflation. We also have a retirement crisis in that state and local government pension funds are drastically underfunded. We have a lot of people who really haven't been saving for their retirement. And what's going to happen is they get older and older. We have a huge fiscal emergency facing Social Security and Medicare. And whatever we do with healthcare is going to be very, very costly. So we have these big financial challenges to the entire country. Furthermore, we have increasing inequality, and that's going to lead to more political disruptions. So those are the biggest challenge. The actual structure of how we execute trades, that actually works pretty well. And if you wanted to get into the technical details about what we could and should be fixing, I'll happily do that. But I suspect your eyes would glaze over pretty quickly. You would suddenly remember that your dentist is having a sale on root canals today, and you would run screaming from the room.
Yeah, I definitely see myself having that reaction. Okay, so we're almost at the end. My next question is, could you tell me a bit about your own current research interest?
I'm very interested in what's going on in the so-called digital asset or cryptocurrency space. This is an amazing phenomenon going on. If there were a Nobel Prize in marketing, it should go to Satoshi Nakamoto, because Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever he, she, it, they are, came up with this brilliant viral marketing scheme. It started off among the computer science community, people who were burdened with any economic history, and they said, wow, I'm going to use my computer and make money. And so they started mining these things called bitcoins and quickly realized that nobody had any use for them. But once you've drunk the Kool-Aid, once you've invested time, money, energy, reputation in it, in order not to look like an idiot, you have this tremendous incentive to go out and market to the world that this is the greatest thing on the planet. And you too should buy this magic internet money because it's going to go to $1 million of Bitcoin tomorrow. And if you don't get it, you'll be poor forever. Well, again, brilliant marketing. And it's really fascinating to watch this sort of epidemiological infection that goes through the community, that a new group of people become infected. A few of them will drink the Kool-Aid, and you get this self-perpetuating cycle where people buy, it goes up. But the real question is, how far will it go? What is the underlying value? That's something nobody really knows. And that's what I've been trying to figure out. What is the true underlying value? It's greater than zero, less than infinity. It's somewhere in between, but none of our standard financial models give us a real number. And this is kind of embarrassing to a finance professor. We have a lot of models. You know, we can, you know, price a stock more or less. You know, we can get it within a factor of two. We have really good models for pricing bonds, really, really good models for pricing derivatives. We can price most commodities, real estate, things like that. So we're good at valuation. It's one of our core skills. But when it comes to something like Bitcoin, none of our models really fit. And that's what makes it so interesting. And then since I have a real regulatory focus, and I focus on the nuts and bolts details of how markets really operate and how we need to protect them, the real question becomes, okay, how should we regulate these so-called digital assets? Because we're in the midst of a revolution. Now, Bitcoin 1.0, I view that as a prototype that will probably be superseded with better technologies. We'll probably be using other forms of so-called digital assets, but which ones remains to be seen. Now, so it is really a very fascinating area. Then on the regulatory side, it is a new and different technology. So it should not be regulated in exactly the same way as the old technology. We need to regulate so-called digital assets for the same reason we regulate all financial services. We want to make sure the consumers are protected. We want to make sure the economy grows. We want to make sure the economy doesn't collapse. We want to make sure our financial system is not used to pay the bad guys, whether it's ransomware or child pornographers or any of the other nasty people out there. We need to make sure that we achieve these same regulatory goals in the digital asset space as well as the conventional space. How do you do that with instruments that were designed to be anonymous bearer instruments? That's a good question. You know, so we definitely need to have appropriate regulation in this space, but not the same regulation. In regulation, tiny little details matter. A comma here, a period there can make all the difference in how things work.
Yeah, as you said, it's of fundamental importance that we achieve goals in the digital asset space as well as in the conventional space. We definitely still have some steps to take, and hopefully we will get there soon. Now, I have one last question. Do you have any financial bite for us, Jim?
A financial bite. Invest in yourself. There are many different ways to invest, many things, many places you can put your money. But the most important thing is invest in yourself, because knowledge is power. The nuts and bolts details do change. The investment opportunities do change. But if you learn how to invest, how to value things, then you'll make much, much better decisions.
That's a great financial bite. I will take this one for myself. And for all listeners, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, this bite is for you. Jim, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed this conversation with you.
Well, thank you, Anais. I enjoyed it as well. And I'm always happy to get on my soapbox and spew about all kinds of things. So you've given me that opportunity.
Thank you for listening to The Financial Bite. We invite you to visit our website on finadium.com and to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for additional content.